Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
So alhamdulillah, as we tune, we talk, and whatever we do, we hope and pray that we do it in a manner that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. Looking over to the Indian Ocean, he's got a bird's eye view. I don't know if his pigeon is looking at him. Adam Kamda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
A good view of the pigeons, but this morning it was a different species of bird. It was much larger, looked something like an eagle, but I couldn't quite identify it. But it made for a glorious sunrise pic this morning, Shafran.
No, absolutely. And I look at the weather, you know, it's deciding whether it wants to be cloudy, it wants to be sunny. But whenever you come out on your balcony and you start looking at the Indian Ocean, suddenly the sun also peeps at you and gives you a good wave, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, it was looking very gloomy early in the morning. It was completely overcast. But now as you speak, the sun is beaming down, the ocean is glistening, the surfers are enjoying the water. There's about 10 boats off Ushaka. As you know, the snapper salmon are biting well there. I went out yesterday. I gave Dad an amazing treat, catching fish throw for throw. So lots of excitement on the Durban beachfront. And I've even seen reports of water test reports showing the waters have cleaned up almost perfectly, Shafad.
Well, I'm telling you, when the silly season comes, one thing that is not silly is the ocean. Yeah, these guys, they know when they're cleaning up. The hedges are being cleaned, the sea lines. I mean, they're putting filters there by the river mouth and all that. So they're ready. I mean, the visitors get a preference over us, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, we're expecting lots of visitors come this summer season. And you can feel the humidity. You can feel summer is here. I've got reports from my friends Lionel and Skulk that fished day before yesterday in the Durban Harbour. They started catching some good kingfish and springer, which are indicators that the summer fish are here. The deep sea guys have started to get a few small dorado. They haven't appeared in Durban in the big numbers and the big sizes yet, but all indications are that it's going to be an amazing summer ahead, Shafar.
Looking at the message, it says, Karim Khalil says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, Adam Kamda. Did I hear Adam correct? He said, a snapper salmon. I never heard of that. I'm an old-time fisherman. I never heard of snapper salmon. Can he please describe it? Adam, what's a snapper salmon?
Yes, Shafat, the cob species is quite popular in KZN and makes a very good table fish. The cob grows quite big, and I think the minimum size is about 60 centimeters. You are allowed two per angler per day. And the snapper salmon looks identical to the cob, except that they have, if you look at the front teeth, they have two long teeth sticking out from the upper jaw and one long tooth sticking up from the lower jaw. This is quite distinctive in the snapper salmon. And the bag limit, I think, is 10 per angler per day, and the minimum size, it's regarded as outside the normal species. So so they don't actually list the minimum size, so that would default to about 15 centimeters apart. But the best eating fish is like from around 30 centimeters to about 40 centimeters. And they are shoaling fish apart, so once you find them, you can sit on that shoal and catch your quota within a matter of half an hour or an hour, Shabbat.
So if you're talking about quota, it's four fish per fisherman, or, you know, can you catch more than that, Adam?
Yes, Shabbat, four is for the shad. Shad season is closed right now. It's the spawning season. So come 1st December, shad season will be open and you're allowed four shad. And then you can continue catching six more of any other species. So each fish has their own bag limit, but you're not allowed to catch more than 10 in total per angler per day, Shafat.
Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum. I never missed a segment for anything. I'm just thinking chow this morning. Want to know from Adam, did he ever try yellow dal with white rice and with a mint chutney and a lovely deep-fried carantine with the bones and all? Adam, I think that was a favorite with a lot of people of yesteryear. Do they still have that variation now?
Yes, Shafat. The carantine is very easy fish to catch. You can use a multi-hook trace and you can catch them throw for throw. I think that's why they had been quite popular amongst Indians. And there as well. You can catch a full pretty quickly. I think carantine is regarded as a bait fish, so I think you might be allowed to catch more than 10. And they are quite easy to catch, and there's lots of, they're quite abundant. And I think it's a very underrated fish because it's small and a bit bony. Some people don't like it, but the taste of that, of carantine is so unique. It really has a unique flavor, a sweetish kind of, taste. So, I recommend if you're catching carantines, let all the smaller ones go and keep the ones that reach around 20 to 25 centimeters. Those ones are packed with lots of meat and, very flavorsome fish to eat apart.
Mustafa says, I got a tip for Adam Kamdai and all the fishermen. Most of them are complaining that sharks are coming into the ocean and are biting the fish off. I give you a good tip. Go and buy half a lamb and throw it one end of the ocean. I guarantee you will get lovely fish yourself. What do you think of Mustafa there? He's giving us his... he's a theory there. You go and buy. I think if you club together, I don't know what it'll cost you. But then he says that you can catch a fish in peace. Sharks, will they fall for that bait, Adam?
Yes, Shafar. There's a standing joke among fishermen that fishing is the most expensive way to get your fish for free. So I think adding half a lamb into the equation is really going to throw the budget out, Shafar. Definitely the sharks will go for that. But if you have that half a lamb, I think put it on a spit, let it roast for about 4 or 5 hours while you head out to sea and catch some fish as well, Shafar. And that's a better way to keep the sharks away.
Yeah, Mustaf. Yeah, you can go for a dal ghost with your Tupperware, that in. But Adam says, yeah, you'd rather use that. A lamb that you're getting, or the half a lamb on a braai, or you make a lovely lamb stew. Adam, when last did you have a lamb stew?
Yes, Shafat, stew is always popular with us. We have it around once a month. So love a stew with lots of vegetables in it, slow cooked, and always goes down very well, Shafat.
This is a message from Rashid. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Bru Chef. Hope you well. And Adam Kamda is a cool dude too. I want to know from Adam, do they demarcate special areas during the festive season for fishermen and for bathers? Please, because sometimes the bathers and fishermen, they have big arguments. We should avoid that. How you respond to Rashid, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, the council does take special precautions for the extra visitors we get through the festive season. As you know, bathers have to swim between the flags so that the lifeguards can watch over them and make sure that they are protected. Give you an example, in our ski boat club in Sipingo, there are some regulations where we are not permitted to launch on December 16th, on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and New Year's Day, Shafar, because you'd find thousands of people flocking down to the beach. And it's not just the Durban Beach or Umhlanga. It's down south by Sipingo, further down Ramsgate Market. All the beaches will be loaded with bathers. So on those days, our ski boats are not allowed to launch. So I'd recommend fishermen as well to keep the distance from the crowds. And the fish don't bite so well anyway if there's lots of bathers in the water. So it's better to separate the activities, let the bathers bathe in a certain area, and the fishermen can find an open area away from the bathers to fish apart.
Asad said, Assalamu alaikum, a cool chat, Bru Chef. You and Adam are cool dudes. Okay, Jazakallah for that. He said, in my time when I grew up, the lifesavers were our heroes. We used to look at them with a lot of respect, and we used to look marvel at them when they used to train. The lifesavers of today are nowhere near the lifesavers of yesteryear. Why is that so, Adam? It seems like everyone has become like a plasticated Chinese work of art. Adam, your response?
Yes, Shafat, I think these are our unsung heroes. You know, it's a thankless job for them to be coming on duty early in the morning and sitting in the sun right till around 5 p.m. looking after everyone. And they usually get criticism when something goes wrong. If there's a drowning or if there's a near drowning, then they get criticized. But I think it's a thankless work. They do lots of training. They have to go through quite a rigorous regime to get to the point of being a permanent lifeguard. And I think we need to show more love and appreciation for the work that they do, Shafar.
This is a very interesting question here, and it's from Rafiq. He says, how often does a fisherman get tangled with the shark nets? Because as you said earlier on your different shows, the sharks are biting. But how often does a tackle get stuck in a shark net? That's a very interesting question, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. Most times the boats head out quite far out to sea, so they're nowhere near the shark nets at all. But there are some times during the year where you get some really good game fish coming shallower and biting, you know, quite close to the shark nets. You know, it's a bit of a paradox that you think, you know, if you're fishing near the shark nets, you're going to get more bites on sharks. But we often get a lot more shark activity out at the number one reef where we're catching game fish and the sharks tax our catch compared to fishing right at the shark nets. And you can sometimes hook a big game fish and land it quite easily. Having said that, fishing along the shark nets, the skipper has to be very vigilant. He has to observe where the boys are to make sure that his props don't get fouled in the shark nets. And I think our local fishermen are quite expert at that, Shafat. I haven't heard of any incident in recent years where a boat had an incident with a shark net, Shafat.
This message here from Iqbal, he says, Assalamu alaikum. I live very close to Adam Kamda's shop. He's busy as a bee. JazakAllah for that. He says, I'm sometime wondering how often do turtles lay eggs in our shores, especially in the Ispingo Beach area. Is it true that they lay the eggs there? And how do we identify that turtles have laid eggs in a certain parts of the seashore? That's another interesting question. JazakAllah, Iqbal. Adam?
Yes, Shafar, there's a lot of research being done on turtles, the life cycle, where they beach to lay the eggs, etc. And there's a lot of research stations up at the Cape Vidal area where you can actually go on a tour. They'll take you out. They know which season the turtles come out to lay the eggs, and you can actually go out and watch them. And then the next morning, when they hatch, you can watch the hatchlings actually crawl out and head out to sea, Shafar, which is quite a perilous thing for those little creatures because there's all manner of predators on them, being crabs to seagulls to sharks to even any other fish that can chomp them. Along our coast, along Durban, Spingo area, there may be turtle nests. We don't know, or I don't know, but I think banning 4x4 driving has gone on the beach has gone a long way to protect these creatures. Whether we know that they frequent certain beaches or not, it gives them a lot more leeway and a lot more freedom to be able to come to shore and lay the eggs and head back to sea, Shafat.
But we know that the turtles come out from eggs. What about crabs? I mean, we have taken for granted. How do crabs breathe, Adam?
Sorry, repeat that, Shafat. This line is a bit soft.
About crabs, how do they breathe?
Crabs.
Yeah.
Yes, crabs are quite prolific on our coastline, Shafat. They are scavengers, so any leftovers from sharks feeding or other fish killing any organisms, any scraps from there, the crabs generally would consume that. And they breed quite prolifically, Shafat, so there's quite an abundance of crabs all along our KZN coastline. And they actually make an amazing bait. A lot of people use the red crab for mussel cracker, and it's quite a prized bait. And then you get the ghost crab that always runs along the coastline. People catch that to make seafood soup. The bigger crabs on the deeper reefs, the guys use to make crab curry, Shafar.
Hey, Adam, that ghost crab. They're funny, and if you go near them, they want to bite your fingers off. So we have to be careful. Well, Adam, you've got a busy schedule ahead this morning. Talk to us about it.
Yes, Shafat. After the show, I'm heading out to the Blind Navigators Regularity Rally. It's a road rally that's designed to incorporate blind people in motorsport. It's really a fun event. I took part in it in the last event, I think it was 2020. That was my first one, and it really was an amazing experience for me. So I'm really looking forward to heading out on the roads with them again. It's not a rally in the sense that you have to rush to a certain point and break the speed limit, etc. It's a course that's written in Braille, which the blind navigator will read out to the driver. And the object is to reach certain checkpoints at precise times. So you lose points for arriving too early or arriving too late. So it really is a test of precision and good communication between the navigator and the driver, Shabbat.
Well, Adam, I know it's a recipe time for you. Perhaps you're going to give us a ghost crab soup recipe. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, Shafat, since we were catching lots of snapper salmon, I decided to prepare a recipe for stuffed salmon. So you start off with, in a saucepan, heat some olive oil and saute some onions until translucent. Then you sprinkle this with sugar, add some water, and allow it to simmer until caramelized. Then you transfer this to a mixing bowl. And in this bowl, you add the following ingredients: 2 cups of fresh breadcrumbs, salt and pepper to taste, a handful of parsley chopped, a handful of dhania chopped, and a handful of dill chopped, and 2 cups of portobellini mushrooms chopped as well. give this a good mix and stuff your fish with this stuffing. Then close up the fish with some sosati sticks. Then you rub the outside of the fish with olive oil, add salt and pepper, loads of freshly squeezed lemon juice, cut a few slits along the top part of the fish's skin. Line your oven pan with foil and transfer the fish to it. Add some fresh lemon slices to that. You bake this at 180 degrees Celsius for about 40 minutes and serve with lemon, dhania, and sea salt.
Hey, that's healthy. Beautiful indeed, Adam. You have a, mashallah, beautiful day ahead. And inshallah, we will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.